Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Time and again, the measure was defeated or delayed. Time and again, we've been reminded of the difficulty of building a nation in which we're all free to live and love as we see fit.
We are fully prepared to defend any of our members, national religious broadcasters, if they're wrongfully prosecuted under this hate crimes law.
We believe that homophobia, not homosexuality, is a sin. We also believe in freedom of the pulpit for all religious people, and this bill has nothing to do with freedom of the pulpit.
As citizens of Maine, we oppose attempts to grant the legal status of marriage to a relationship between persons of the same sex.
For me, this is a vote about equality. It's about civil rights. It's about doing what I think Jesus would do.
Who would have thought that here early in the 21st century, the United States electorate, state by state, would be entertaining questions like it is today on so many ballots? Questions about basic things that perhaps a generation ago would have been considered settled, not just legally, but not even the need to even address them in terms of voting, things like marriage. And of course, that's just one of the subjects in all of the Values Voters initiatives being voted on today, state by state across this nation. Some crucial races and some crucial laws being looked at or being looked at for a second time. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of November. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address for your questions and comments over the next hour, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us at @IssuesETC. After we talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about Values Voters Initiatives in about 10 minutes, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of Christianity Today magazine will join us to talk about media coverage of Christian moral failures, and we'll conclude today's show talking about the Apocrypha, those books that are in the Bible, in some Bibles, but don't exactly fit in the Bible, the Apocrypha. Our guest will be Dr. Jeff Kloa of Concordia Seminary. Joining us to talk about Values Voters Initiatives, voted on today, being voted on today, and many of which we'll be watching come in tonight, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You sit down and watch the returns tonight. What of these Value Voters initiatives will you be watching most closely tonight?
Well, there are two direct issues that are directly Values Voters issues, and those are the two same-sex marriage issues, one in Maine and one in Washington State. I'm going to be watching the Maine one most closely because the National Organization for Marriage has been heavily invested in there. But I'm also very interested in a couple of the close elections that are going on around the country, including the one in Virginia, which is turning out to be not close at all, the one in upstate New York, New York's 23rd District, which I think the conservative candidate is going to win. And then the governor's race in New Jersey, I think, is quite interesting to Values Voters. And the reason those are interesting is that there is a conservative insurgency in all three of those places. And the thing, and the conservative candidates have pretty good chances of winning, all of them. In Virginia, the conservative candidate McDonnell is going to win. I think the conservative non-Republican person in upstate New York, Doug Hoffman, I think is quite likely to win. And there's even a chance that Christie could overturn Corzine in New Jersey. The reason that's of interest to values voters is that in all three of those cases, the values voters themselves, the social conservatives, have played key races and are deeply invested in those races. So the National Organization for Marriage has been involved in those, has taken position in those, and is interested. And also the American Principles Project has done a lot of blogging and talking about those issues. So, you know, however those go, the values voters are a key part of it. And what I find so fascinating, Todd, is that you're the first person to really talk about those elections in terms of values voters. Most of the mainstream media is completely overlooking the fact that gay marriage is in the background of those cases and that the life issues are right in the front of those cases. All three of those situations, conservative person is a pro-life person, and that's their strength. And so I think these elections are showing something quite interesting to the political establishment, which is that social conservative issues are not death wish issues. Those are issues that people can win on. You can win on life issues. You can win on marriage issues.
If the gay rights advocates in Maine win and manage to salvage the law that legalizes same-sex marriage there, will this be the first time that voters have approved of gay marriage?
Pretty much that's the case. The only exception to that would be a couple of years ago in Arizona, one of the referenda failed, but then they overturned it 2 years later. So it would be very significant in that way, Todd, for exactly the reason you mentioned, that by far, in I think 29 out of 30 cases or 30 out of 31 cases, something like that, when voters get to vote on this, they always vote in favor of traditional marriage. So it would be surprising. And so one of the things that I read just before coming on the show here is that people are a little concerned about the weather in Maine, because if the weather is bad and the weather keeps older voters away disproportionately relative to younger voters, then that could hurt the cause of marriage. But it's hard to say, and we're going to have to be watching that one all the way down to the wire, I think.
Can you explain Referendum 71 in Washington? It was called, I've heard it called by you and by others, Everything But Marriage, an Everything But Marriage Law?
Yes, I don't know that much about it. I'm sorry to say that's just one I haven't had on my radar screen that closely. But what I can tell you is that this is one where voting no is the way you vote for traditional marriage. You know, in other words, something was passed in the legislature. It has to be approved by the voters now. That's my understanding. And if the voters say no to it, then the thing that the legislators passed goes down. So as I understand it, what it is is a super duper civil union bill that the proponents of traditional marriage say it really is all but marriage in everything but name, type of a bill. So there are values voters, again, up there deeply, deeply invested in that very, very blue state of Washington, trying to protect traditional marriage. So if you have listeners who are in Washington, the thing to do is to vote. You need to vote no on Referendum 71 if you want to protect traditional marriage. That's the way that one works. A little bit confusing.
If same-sex marriage wins in Maine or Washington, how big a setback do you think that will be for traditional marriage?
Well, I think, it's hard to answer that. In a way, the big setbacks for traditional marriage came earlier this year when the proponents of same-sex marriage steamrolled through New England and got things passed in the legislatures and through the courts and so on. That was a big deal that they did that. And so now all of the states in New England, except for Rhode Island, have same-sex marriage in some form or fashion. So, I think really the bigger question is, can the proponents of traditional marriage overturn or stop that momentum? And that, I think, is what is so significant about Maine. I think there's a very good chance that issue one will win in Maine. That is, that traditional marriage will be affirmed by the voters of Maine. I think that's very likely, partly because of the polling. The polling shows it close, and past history shows that whenever the polling says it's close, that means usually same-sex marriage is under-polled. You know what I mean? People say one thing, and then they go into the polling booth and do something different. And so I think that it's very likely that traditional marriage is going to triumph in Maine, as it has all across the country.
You mentioned before that the races are also important, because in the background, although the political establishment may not recognize it, in the background, are life issues, are issues of family and marriage. Why do you think that remains? Why do you think the political establishment remains tone deaf to those issues and how crucial they are to real voters? You got about a minute before we need to wrap up.
Well, you know, a lot of the political establishment, you know, it's an issue they don't care about, so they assume that the voters don't care about. And a lot of them, of course, a lot of people in the higher reaches of society are deeply involved in the sexual revolution in one way or another. You know, they've been through two or three spouses, or, you know, they can't imagine what their own life would be like without abortion, and, you know, those kinds of things. And so they're committed to it in kind of a personal way, and so therefore they don't want to look at it too closely. But on the other hand, there are many people who have been through the sexual revolution and figured out it doesn't work, and those are often the people who are the most passionate in favor of the traditional values, because they see that the innovations that have come up since the 1960s have really not made people happy. The sexual revolution hasn't made people happy, and the people who are willing to admit that are the people who are out on the barricades the most, and those people get called values voters, even though if you looked at them on economic issues and a lot of other things, they'd be all over the map. You know, they're people who have all kinds of views on economics who are nonetheless in favor of traditional values, and that's just something the political establishment hasn't figured out.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Check out the website for the Ruth Institute tonight. Go first to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is going to join us for a few minutes. We're going to spend some time with her talking about media coverage of Christian moral failures. Well, it always makes headlines, especially when a famous Christian or a near-famous Christian has some sort of a famous or infamous fall of some sort. What does the media not get about Christianity in the way that it treats these stories? They are legitimate stories, but what does the media not understand about Christianity? And how is that evident in how they deal with those stories? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of Christianity Today magazine will be our guest after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed. You are prosperous. You can do all things. Your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.